We never thought the wind would be this iconic sort of myth legend that it is. Like, I've got jobs off the back of that where I'm in the middle of a song in an audition and someone will go, "Holy shit, you're the wind." And I'm like, "Yeah, but can I finish my song?"
Hello and welcome to In the Frame. I'm your host on West End Frame, editor Andrew Tomlins, and today's guest is Luke Baker, who is starring as Zach in The Officer and a Gentleman, the musical. Directed by Nikolai Foster, the show is embarking on a new UK tour. Luke originated the role of Dean in Everybody's Talking About Jamie in Sheffield and in the West End. Most recently, he played Tony in Billy Elliot at the Leicester Curve, also directed by Nikolai Foster, who he has worked with a few times in his career. A few of Luke's other theatre credits include playing Ren in Footloose on tour. He did American Idiot at the Arts Theatre. He was a standby for Ray in Sunny Afternoon at the Harold Pinter Theatre, Link Larkin in Hairspray at the Cork Opera House, and Luke played The Wind in I Can't Sing at the London Palladium. So we recorded this a couple of weeks ago during a break from rehearsals. Sadly, there were some tech issues before we started, which cut into our recording time. But Luke and I still managed to have a lovely chat about The Officer and a Gentleman. We spoke about learning to say no. And if you're a regular listener, you'll know that we, of course, had to delve into I Can't Sing. Here's the interview. Luke Baker, you're in the frame.
What, me?
Paint the picture. What's going on? Where are you right now?
So I'm in rehearsals right now for Officer and a Gentleman, week two. Picture me in the company manager's office as we failed our first attempt at this Zoom call because I can't deal with buttons on headphones and I cancelled it and it was all a mess. But we're all good now. We're all good.
Luke is a sound engineer, like, in progress.
Now I've got some sort of voice note going on, and yeah.
But to be fair, you're in a mad rehearsal period learning a mad, mad role, so you have other things that should be occupying your brain. So you have good excuse.
That's very true. But this tiny little brain I've got is quite full right now, so I think I can be let off a little bit there.
So how are you feeling? Absolutely. How are you feeling? Like, we'll talk about the show and stuff, but what's like the mode right now in your brain? What's the mindset right here, right now? I always think it's cruel when people talk to me in rehearsals because there's so much going on.
Yeah, there's so much going on, honestly. I mean, just to fit in everything you've got to do in this time frame, it doesn't matter whether you've got 3 weeks or like 3 months rehearsals. Like, it always seems like a mad rush at the end. But yeah, we're on to act two now, into our second week. So we're just sort of working through the show and making sense of it, to be honest. We're all pretty tired, but that's what it is, isn't it? You know, you just keep going. And it's a physical show, like, you know. I mean, the whole show is basically training. So we're doing a bit of training, doing a bit of sort of military stuff, a bit of crying, a bit of shouting, a bit of singing. That kind of thing, yeah. But it's going really well, shaping up quite nicely.
When it came up originally, the audition came through, or whatever happened originally, did you know anything? What did you know? How were you aware of the musical? Were you aware of the film? Like, what was the kind of initial reaction from yourself?
So just before the Jamie transfer, I did one of the workshops at Curve for Officer and Gentleman. Where we were just sort of sat around a table, making sense of the script, making sense of the music they wanted to use, etc. And that was when we had like Lucy Jones doing the workshop. We had like Simon Bailey, Rob Compton, Jess Daly playing all the leads. And it went really well. And we were like, oh my God, this is actually quite moving for people. And the score was amazing. George had done an amazing job. And then I sort of forgot about it. And then it went on tour last time. I was busy. I was doing, you know, whatever I was doing. I was doing Jamie or whatever. And then when this came up, when the audition came up, I was like, I think I could do a decent job at that. But then by this point, the guy that played it the last time is now my brother-in-law, who wasn't my brother-in-law then, but he is now.
Oh, that's so complicated, Luke.
So since then, I've got married, and my wife is the sister of Johnny, who played it last time. So it was like, do we go for that? Because I think I've got a decent chance, because I know what it involves, and I know that I'd be able to do it. Do I want to go in for it or what? And then when I went in for it, I was like, this sits in my voice nice. It's a good part for me. And yeah, and it was a quick casting process, and we got the offer like 2 weeks later, something like
And
that.
we love a quick casting process.
I love a quick casting process. I mean, trust me, I've been through, you know, rounds and rounds and rounds for the things. And you're like, once you're in your 10th round, you're like, come on, come on. Just say yes or no by now. But yeah, I love that. And it was good. And luckily, I knew most of the team anyway. So it was like, you know, mostly the same team as Billy Elliot last year. So yeah, I mean, it was good for me. I mean, it's lucky. And the cast have been, they're all so good, and so everyone's so different, and everyone's got amazing different strengths, and everyone's good vibes. That's like the main thing when you start a rehearsal process, that like you hope that everyone's nice and everyone's good and fun and easy. And that seems so far so good, so we'll see, won't we? But
when you're on the road in those digs,
yeah, wait till tech and someone loses their mind, which is like my favorite game to play, who's going to lose their mind first in tech. No, it's all good. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, I think gradually now everyone through rehearsals one at a time is like turning to me going, you've got a lot, haven't you? You've got a lot to learn. Like, yeah, tell me about it. But it's amazing. I mean, I'd rather be busy doing a show than, you know, sat in the wings. And yeah, it's good. I like a challenge. It's good.
Because when I first like came across you was Beautiful Thing, right? And obviously that was with Nicolai Foster at the helm,
yeah,
before he was at Curve. So you've kind of had this association with him for a long, long, long time. And then, like you say, you came back to the workshop with this, and you did Billy Elliot, and you've kind of crossed paths since. And I feel like he likes to work with some people again. You know, there's like a little squad of people who have worked at Curve time and time again and done those Nicolai shows and stuff. So what's it like being back in the room with him? Like, what's Nicolai like
yeah,
to
great.
Work with?
I mean, I've been aware of Nicolai since as soon as I graduated, we were in touch. And then I worked with him the first time when I graduated, about 2 years after I graduated. So I graduated in 2010. And I worked with him in like 2012, did all the Fun of the Fair tour. And then I think then it was Beautiful Thing after that, where I was like offstage understudy, which is an like interesting role to sort of have in a company, because you never, and I never went on either. So it was it's interesting because you learn three different parts, and when you're rehearsing it with the other offstage understudy, I'm playing three parts and she's playing two parts, and you just do the whole show, and it's amazing. But it's an amazing like learning process from the point of view of you know, starting out. And then what else did I do with Nicolai? Well, I did, when I was on tour with Footloose, I did like a season opening where they do like, I think it's quarterly, like what shows are coming to the Curve and stuff like that. And so I like sang a bit of Footloose there, did a bit of Can't Stand Still there.
Yes.
A couple of workshops, a couple of things like that. And then obviously Billy last year. And then this year, but yeah, we've always sort of been in touch, and even like he always, but I think some people think that like he sort of just offers out these things to people he knows, and actually like I go in for quite a lot of things that I don't get with it as well, because you know there's no point in, like I was in for Evita for Shay, and it's like, but he, you know, I did a good audition, but then you go, Well, I'm not what you want for this. So it didn't sort of string me along for loads and loads and loads of rounds. It was like, great, it's not what we want, which is also fine. But I love working with Nikolai. It's just so easy. And people who I sort of play, I tell everyone how brilliant he is all the time. I'm always like, championing him. And then when friends or colleagues will eventually work with him, they're like, oh, yeah, I get it. It's so easy, and the creative process is so thorough that you're creating it, even if it's the show that's been around for years. It's like it's brand new, which is like all you want, isn't it, as an actor?
Yeah, well, lots of people say that he works with actors in a really nice way, and it's a kind of creative, exciting room to be in, which isn't always the case, depending on who's at the helm, right?
And it's just the sort of, the respect and the kindness and the little dog in the room and little things like that. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've never ever had any complaints. It's that respect thing, isn't it? If it goes both ways, that you want to work for people like that, you want to make sure that you do a good job. And it's the thing of like trying out different things as well. If you suggest something, it's never like shut down. You try it, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it's amazing. And like I've worked with directors who are just stick to their guns. This is what I want because it's what I thought in my kitchen, and that's that. And that's also fine. But I work better in the creative process rather than being told exactly what you want me to do. Because like as actors, we are all creative, and we all can see different ways of doing the same thing. And I just think it's for me, it works better.
Tell me about the music in this show. What's like the style? What are you giving us? Are you giving us like full on legit? Are you belting your face off? Like, what's going on?
Hi, I'm Marcus Mazzell, host of Past Present Feature, a filmmaker appreciation podcast showcasing new festival releases and the past films that inspired them. As a filmmaker myself, I started this podcast with the intention of building community while talking shop and to show love to past cinema that sparked a new wave of filmmakers to create the films of the future. Please like and subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media at Past Present Feature. Thank you for listening. Let's roll it.
We give him belting. We give him 80s rock.
Yes.
I don't do legit. I can't do legit. If people are good at legit and classical singing, I love it. I love listening to it. I just can't do it.
I bet you could
And
fake it till you make it if you had to.
I can give I can do my best. But like I always think, play to your strengths. And if my strength is being angry and shouting, I'm gonna stick to it, right? So no, we're giving it Bon Jovi. We're giving it nice sort of like I want to know what love is kind of vibes as well. Really soft, and so yeah, it's good. I mean, the music's amazing. They went through quite a process of like selecting what music works. So there's some songs where I've never heard before, and some of them that are just classic Bon Jovi songs and Blondie and Madonna and things like that. So it's good. It's good. I mean, it's 80s rock. Essentially.
Love it. I love it. Like, it's so I can like it's a, this is a cool moment. This is a cool role. It's a big show. Because what I think's interesting and amazing about the stuff that you've done is you're this amazing character actor, right? So 1 minute you're playing the wind in I Can't Sing, or you're giving us like a bit of Link Larkin in the next, and then you're playing that like heartthrob bro, and then you're playing the angry brother and Billy. Like, I feel like people haven't been able to pop you into that box yet.
Yeah, I mean, I like doing different things, and I like figuring out what works. And the challenge with all these things, like, we never thought the wind would be this iconic sort of myth legend that it is. Like, I've got jobs off the back of that where I'm in the middle of a song in an audition, and someone will go, "Holy shit, you were the wind!" And I'm like, "Yeah, but can I finish my song?" And it's like, "I saw that. It was amazing. That was so funny." It's like, yeah, and like people don't realize that was me, or don't realize that like I was the dancer in the back. I was the understudy. I was doing all the hard, and they're the hardest jobs. And but yeah, and then Link Larkin is a completely different kettle of fish, and then the hard thing is some of these characters, especially like Dean Paxton and things like that. It's like, how do you make people care about these characters? And like Tony as well, how do you make people care about Tony and Billy Elliot? And like, even in this, it's like, we have to make people care about me, even though I'm being not too pleasant quite a lot. So, and it's like having this backstory, this like heart and all that kind of thing. So it's interesting. And it's a challenge.
Because I feel like when people are coming into industry or people looking up to performers and stuff, they aspire towards a certain type of role. Often, like, you want to be the leading man, whatever that means, you know? And actually, there's fun to be had elsewhere sometimes, but it's really incredible when you can flitter around and do both and do a bit of everything, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, most of the better parts or the interesting parts are not the lead, you know, like it's like the friend or the whatever, they've always got so much complexities to them. Like Paul's character in this, Paul French's character Sid, is really complex and it's an amazing part. Or like, you know, Tim Rogers playing Byron, like my father, they're complex and they're memorable and they're amazing. They're not necessarily the lead, but people will go, wow, amazing, you know. So, I mean, I think also, like, it depends what the show is. It depends, like, what. But, yeah, like you say, to have that aspiration of, I want to be the leading man, I want this, I want that. It's like, well, every show is different. And also, like, you've got to know where you lie in the business and what your strengths are. Like, if you're, like, a character actor, or if you just want to stand and sound pretty, that's cool. Whatever you want to do. Whether you just want to dance, if you want to understudy, if you want to swing, whatever. And you have to like figure that out by doing a bit of everything, I think. Like my CV at the start was like so, so varied. Like I was in this heightened RP salad days as my first professional job as swing, you know, like, oh, hello. And that's just not where I'm at now in my career. Like no one would go, oh, Luke should do a heightened RP job, you know, but you do these little jobs and you go, okay, I like that because, and you always learn, don't you? You always learn like different things. Of course. So, yeah.
I love asking people about when they learned to like say no or when they first said no. Like, did you figure out early on, actually, I need to work out what's right and what's not right? And
I mean, I think when you've got the power to say no, I mean, I wouldn't sort of say to a recent graduate, learn how to say no. Like, learn how to say yes to everything for the first couple of years. And then when you figure out, like, what you want out of the business as well, you have to realize that you're self-employed and you're in it for, you're not in it for yourself. That's probably the wrong way to say it, isn't it? But that's the only power that actors have is to say no. And to not put yourself in a situation that you don't want to be in, whether that's in an audition, whether that's in the room, whether that's a choreographer or a director asking you to do something that you don't feel comfortable with. And it's really, really important that we all do that, because then the boundaries are there for you. Also to speak to your agent and say, I don't really want to. Like that's where I'll say no more often than in an audition. I've already said yes. If you go for the audition, you're effectively saying I would like to do that job. But when my agent calls me up and says I want you to tape for this or can you go in for that, I'll just say no. And then sometimes they need a reason, and sometimes you don't necessarily have one. You just get a feeling like, I don't really want to do that, I don't want to do that job, or I don't want to tape for that part, because the casting director then thinks that that's me. And then I can then come back and say, well, I want to play parts like X, Y, and Z for like Corey. You know, how many times have I taped for these particular programs? And then you go, well, actually, if I want to do that, I want to be this or this. And then they can say yes or no. And it's up to them, isn't it? So, but, you know, there's no blueprint to this business, and everyone's journey is so individual. And I just think, yeah, to say no is so important.
Yeah. And I guess like, also where you're at, like now you're a dad, right? Like there's other responsibilities, there's other things that you have to take into the equation of how to navigate, like, where you're at is always changing and evolving.
That's right, yeah. I've got a one-year-old daughter now, so, you know, I took basically a year out last year to concentrate on my family, because that's what's important to me now, you know. And what job I do next is secondary, because I can get a job. I can do whatever to, you know, pay the rent, pay the mortgage, and, you know, make sure that my wife and daughter are, like, provided for. But then you add onto the equation, like, touring. It's going to be really hard. But because she's only one, she's not necessarily going to remember. And this little sacrifice is worth missing them all week. And, you know, then on my one day off or 2 days off some weeks, it's going to be, like, worth it for that. But then I have to go somewhere else and shout Bon Jovi into the faces of the audience in Stoke or whatever. So, you know, it's but it is what it is, and this is the career that we've chosen to do. And, you know, I could say no and make it much easier, but this is what we do, and it's sort of the double-edged sword with it, because, you know, there's always sacrifices in every aspect of being a performer. Like, you know, imagine you're, like, a top Hollywood actor right now. You're going to be able to see your better half probably not that often, unless you make an agreement that they come with you, but then you're taking them out of their life. So it's like, imagine you had to, you know, do a worldwide press release of a movie. You'd, you know, at one point of your life, you'd say, well, I'd do anything for that. But then you add on other commitments. It gets harder and harder, doesn't it? So,
yeah,
you know, and as we get older, different things, different commitments, different challenges come up. But I think if you've got the support, it makes it easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course, of course. And it's an ever-growing, ever-changing, ever-evolving situation. Listen, before we wrap, I've spoken to quite a lot of your I Can't Sing fellow castmates recently. It's so funny. Simon Bailey, Gabrielle Brooks, Alex Young, yeah. Simon Lipkin. They've all been giving me, like, their reflections. When you hear about it now, sat in this company manager's office in your rehearsal room on this kind of rainy Thursday, what like comes into your brain? How do you feel about that whole mad, crazy, almost out of body experience now?
That was a job that when I got it, it was like, I've made it. Oh my God, I've made it. We're at the Palladium. Wow. And the creative process was, like, long. We were rehearsing for a while. We had the job for ages as well. We did like the Royal Variety performance before we'd even started rehearsals, all this sort of stuff. And we were like, this is going to be the best thing. And it was, honestly. I fully stand by the fact that, and if anybody wants to see it, I think someone might have uploaded it to YouTube. Anyway, the whole thing. But that's a different story. It wasn't me, by the way. just to clarify, the cast was incredible. And I stand by the fact that it was funnier than Mormon. It was the funniest thing. I just think the alien threw people. I think it went a bit far. But the cast was incredible, and we learned so much. And we were like, this is going to be either the biggest hit or the biggest flop. And it was just, they ended up spending too much money. And that's all it was. Because the show, it had people up on their feet every single night. And we got to witness, like, Cynthia's rise, mm-hmm. you know? You go through that cast now, and you're like, okay. You know what I mean? It was mega.
Oh, the fact that people like Gabrielle Brooks and yourself and Alex Young were all in that ensemble.
Yeah, me
wild.
And Gabby understood it. It was, oh my God, it was amazing. And, like, the thing is, with how the world works and with how life is, if that hadn't have stopped when it did, I wouldn't have got Hairspray. So I wouldn't have played my first, like, sort of lead outright. Coming off the back of that, I got Sunny Afternoon. Coming off the back of that, I got American Idiot, Footloose, Jamie. So then it, like,
yeah.
And I just think, and then, you know, other people, Scott Garnham, Gary Traynor, they wouldn't have got made in Dagenham. little thing, and you're just like, and these things change people's yeah. trajectory.
But I'm sure on that day when you got told we're closing, you were all devastated and terrified.
100%. 100%. We were like, shit. And some people got mortgages off the back of it. It was like, you know, real world stuff. Like, we've got this for a year. We're on good money. Everyone's on good money. We're at the Palladium. Life's good. And then it just, we saw the producers all line up at the back during the bows, and we were like, what's happening? And it's heartbreaking. It's so heartbreaking. I mean, I was sort of relatively at the start of my career, so it wasn't that bad.
Listen, I could see you're being called back into rehearsals. You've got to go. Thank you for talking to me, Luke. Good luck with the tour.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Speak to you soon.
All right. See ya.
The Officer and a Gentleman tours the UK until the 9th of November. A huge thank you to Luke for taking time out of rehearsals to record this episode of In the Frame. Subscribe, follow, rate and review wherever you're listening. And whilst you're there, check out our other podcast, The West End Frame Show, for your weekly stagey catch-up. Check out West End Frame on Instagram and TikTok, and I'll be back next week with another wonderful guest. But until then, thank you for listening.